Hello everyone, welcome to Word Books with Friends, episode number 22, Word Books with Friends, brought to you by the Republic Fair on Valo. The Republic Fair, come for the intergalactic petting zoo, stay because of the surprise swimming pools.
You know what? I heard it's going to be a great festival. The Republic Chancellor is promising some high-flying scenic views of the Republic, which is going to be crazy. Jedi counselors are going to be there.
It sounds like it's going to be a many worlds fair.
Yeah. It's, you know, the exhibits are going to be their own spaces, their own islands in the sky. Chris, that's who you are.
Paul, that's who you are.
Yeah.
This is not episode 557 of the Bag Forecast, but it's also not episode 557, mm-hmm. because it's something different. Paul and I did a bunch of these during the coronavirus pandemic when we were shut down. I had a lot of free time, so we started talking about word books, because we always talk about comic books over on Bag and Board Proper, but we decided, hey, you know what, let's do some word books with friends. And that's what we're talking about today. The last time we did one of these was literally last year. Episode was posted January 2nd, 2023. Where we talked about Star Wars The High Republic, Light of the Jedi, Part 3, because we did break down that book into three parts. Absolutely loved it.
The authors broke it down.
They did. We followed
suit. Charles Soule, he broke it down in three parts.
So, Paul, what are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about The High Republic, if you couldn't tell from the sponsor. The High Republic, The Rising Storm, written by Kevin Scott. And this is the second tier, main book of the High Republic series. There in between, you did have Into the Dark, which is the junior.
Okay. I was going to try to look up the reading order.
I got it right here.
You know, we don't have to beat around the bush. I really enjoyed this. I started reading this book 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
A while. It's been a while.
You finished the book last year. We the last book last year. So
yeah, okay.
Probably a year ago.
I promptly forgot where I left off in this. I knew I was a little bit more than halfway through because I was really enjoying it. And then when I sat down to try to find my spot, I was like, okay, I don't know what this is. You know, I'd flip a little bit earlier in the book, be like, this doesn't sound familiar. Go a little bit before that. I'm like, well, I know I was past chapter 7, but I don't remember this. So I literally
started fresh.
You know what
would help, probably, is the chapters having actual descriptions or names of the chapters instead of chapter 14.
Just where it takes place.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, because each chapter does say chapter 2, Cyclor Shipyards, which, you know, is good to let you know where you're at. But if you're trying to go back through it. So I basically started fresh, and Paul, I don't want to say I lied to you.
Yeah, because he said you were lost. And I'm like, well, bud, we can talk about the High Republic.
I also told you earlier I finished the book.
Uh-huh.
It's half true, because I went back and forth between reading this and actually listening to the audio book version of it on Spotify, which Spotify has audiobooks, and they're included with your premium membership if you do that. So that was a great way for me to continue on reading this, because I was afraid I was only going to be halfway through it by the time we sat down to talk about it, and I wouldn't be able to fully discuss it. But being able to put it on in the background while I'm playing games or cleaning, making dinner, actually really helped me barrel through it, and then sit down and be okay, I left off on this chapter. I can sit here and read this one now, and then later be all right, well, I've been reading. Oh, and I'm going to do something different. Put on the audiobook. So it was constant. And something else that helped me is you can adjust the playback speed.
Yeah, nice.
So 1.3 is where I landed with it, because 1.4, I could still make out what was happening, but I don't know the name of the narrator. I should probably have been a little bit more prepared. But he does different voices for each of the characters, which is really cool, because it does help differentiate them. Because that was one of my concerns with reading Light of the Jedi, was there were so many characters in it, And with this being removed from the Star Wars, quote unquote, that I know, where it's like, oh, you tell me Han Solo, I can see Han Solo. Oh, Chewbacca, I see Chewbacca. Mm-hmm. You tell me Porter Engel, I'm like, okay, well, that's the cook guy. He was supposed to be really badass. Like,
yeah, the 12 egg soup or the 9 egg soup.
It was me thinking back, like, okay, I recognize this name, but who is this guy? So having the different voices actually helped me out with that. But when I would put it on that 1.4 playback speed, sometimes like the different like accents or things he was using for the characters made it difficult to actually tell what was.
Oh, really? I would think that everybody would be higher pitched because it's going at a higher speed. So everybody would sound like at a higher pitch. Is that not like Alvin and the Chipmunk style?
It was a little pitched up, but it was more like the Celestin Senator.
Yeah.
Tunes. Yes. He has like the Celestin like accent, but when you're playing it fast like this, it's like, oh, okay, that's a little bit too much. Like the actual Jedi, like Stellan and Avar, like that's all good. Yeah. But the aliens was a little bit difficult. I said I was going to look up the narrator's name, and I failed to do so. But also, the thing I really liked about it too is they use actual Star Wars music. It has like John Williams like sound cues at the background, and when they're, you know, coming up to this when we get to it, like when they're at the Republic Fair, you hear in the background. Mm-hmm. Like, there's sound effects, which it was higher production than I expected it to be, because I've never actually sat down and listened to an audiobook. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't expecting it to be like a full-fledged affair where it's not just someone, you know, reading me the book.
Yeah. The only audiobook I have experience with is listening to the World of Warcraft one, the one that leads into the war. The
Rising War. Tide?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Rising Tide? No.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's one. The one that deals with Sylvanas becoming war. You know, she is war chief now, and she's like doing everything to, you know, with the Azerite. That one.
This was narrated by Mark Thompson. So I really enjoyed this. I was going to circle around to that. And when I was saying, like, I want to see what the reading order is, because really enjoyed Light of the Jedi. I've enjoyed what we read from the High Republic comics. I know we really read most of, like, that first arc, which I think was also written by Kevin Scott, or that could have been Charles Soule.
Charles Soule was Light of the Jedi.
Yes. And then we kind of dipped in and out with some of like the new stuff, because there was like that murder mystery that I think actually starred Ty Yorick, the girl that's like the bodyguard.
Oh, really? She's the one helping out?
I think that's her.
The Jedi?
I need to go back and
I don't think it is. No, because she has a blaster the whole time. And Ty would have her lightsaber. And Ty's also the alien with the weird tendrils for hair. She's actually on. I think
that's her on the cover.
Cover, yeah.
Because she has like the purple lightsaber, and there's someone there. Mm-hmm. And then I think in the middle that's Stellan Geos. And then I don't know, is that supposed to be Bel Zedifar next to them?
Yes, yeah, with the yellow lightsaber, or is that green?
Kind of green, but I thought Loden Greatstorm. Hey, surprise, he's back. Had the yellow lightsaber that got taken by Marshawn Rowe.
Yeah, yeah. He had, and then, but Stellan, spoilers for the book, Zedifar, he loses his lightsaber to the lake and then is given Stellan's master's lightsaber.
Yeah. I really enjoyed this, and going back into this, like, full bore made me be like, I really enjoyed Light of the Jedi. I liked what I've read of the High Republic comics. Mm-hmm. This is definitely something that I do want to read more of. And the only hesitation I have is trying to figure out what came before this. Because do I need to read what came before this? Probably not. But I also enjoy this so much that I kind of want to see maybe someone pop up in that.
Yeah, I kind of want to, like, I would want to do, like, maybe go to Wikipedia and be like, you know what? I really like Elzar Mann. He's the guy.
Well, like, Elzar Mann, he's pretty smooth.
You know, he's smooth. He's, you know, he's dabbled with the dark side. Now, you know, it feels bad about it. You know, that happens in this book. He was also, like, he's the one that was out there, like, you know, experimenting with the Force. He's the one in Light of the Jedi that figured out a way to, like, help use the Force in some weird way to help the droids, like, all kind of come together. And they, like,
overtune them.
Overclock them. And also keep, like, press, like, lift the heat, like, raise the heat away from them so they can keep working.
And also, spoilers for someone else that happens in this book, he's also a Jedi that gets down.
Yeah.
Like, which...
Her name isn't Rebecca, but that's all I read it as. Like,
respect.
But, yeah, I want to click on his name and be like, okay, does he appear in the other books? Okay, if he appears in the other books, maybe Ty. I'm like, oh, if Ty shows up, York in other books, I want to read her if she's like in the Into the Dark book, or if she's in one of the other young, you know, Out of the Shadows, some of the non-main books, then yeah, I would be interested.
Now, this book did a good job of fleshing out some of the other characters that we had seen and heard of in Light of the Jedi, because Avar Kriss really not in this one, but Chancellor So has a bigger part in this one. And the same thing with, like, Avar, or not Avar, Stellan Geos. I really liked him in this book. And, like, the whole time we're going through it, and I definitely caught up to where I had left off originally. It's when they actually get to the fair. That's where I had stopped reading last time, because then as soon as I got up to there, and then it's continuing on, and, like, that's when I'm like, all right, this is where it was.
But I did see mind bouncing, like, at that point, because it does kind of slow down at that point.
Didn't mind, like, going back and rereading this, though, because there's so many characters that I like. And yes, that first half of the book is all table setting for what's coming next, because I think the real catalyst is when the Nihil attack the fair, and you know that's going to be coming, but then it's seeing how all of those Jedi who are at this point should be used to dealing with the Nihil after the hyperspace disaster, but they've also become kind of complacent, like, no, we've solved that. And I completely understand where that Celestin senator was coming from, where it's like, no, we don't want to depend on the Jedi for this. Like, the Republic needs its own security forces. Why are we spending all this money for this fair when we need to protect our people? And that, it was one of those moments where I'm like, I know I'm not supposed to like this guy because he's kind of, like, antagonistic to, like, all these other characters that I like, but he's raising some really good points here.
Well, it's also... because from what I understand, the Galactic Senate is set up in such a way where, hey, it's kind of like the UN. It's not an actual governing government. It's there to raise issues in between the different governments of the system. Everybody's free to have their own standing army. Yeah. All the systems are free to, you know, to take over their own affairs, you know, cover their own affairs. They're only there to resolve trade disputes, you know.
And, secure funding.
Yeah.
Look at things like that. Yeah. Paul, what were your overall thoughts on this one? Because I kind of I circled back, raised things, circled back, raised things. I feel like I talked a lot. So,
really enjoyed this as well. I thought, in Light of the Jedi, I thought a lot of the characters weren't really hashed out, except for Loden Great Storm and Bell. I thought those two characters were the ones that were the most interesting. You had a little bit with Elzar in the beginning, and then he kind of disappeared. You know, once the whole, like, a hyperspace thing is kind of figured out, kind of goes into the background, shows up at the very end and has the nightmare. And that's where we start this book, is with his nightmare vision again, and him questioning what he saw through the Force. I thought this one I think we had more time with, since we weren't world building anymore, we were able to focus on the characters, spend time with those characters in situations. I really like Bell more, you know, like Bell before, yeah, I like him more.
I liked Bell a lot in Light of the Jedi, but now getting to spend more time with him and his Charhound Ember, like, I was like, man, like, I like that there's a Star Wars character that has a pet. Like,
well, you would love season three of Bad Batch right now.
I still have to watch season one. I only watched, like, the premiere. Like, as someone who, you know, again, animal lover, I have this dude sitting with me right now. Like, I like a Jedi that's having like a friendship with someone. Like, he takes Ember in his Vector as he's like flying missions. Like, that's cool. Like, that's the Jedi I would aspire to be. Is that the smartest move?
Apparently, it is.
Probably not, but it works out for him.
Chris, what would happen if, let's just say, random scenario. Let me paint you a picture. You're flying your Viper.
Okay.
Or you're not your Viper.
My Vector.
But
what is that, Battlestar?
That's Battlestar, like your Vector.
Bless you.
And suddenly, you get harpooned through the chest. Crazy scenario, I know. Probably would never happen. What's going to keep you focused? What's going to keep you alive? What's going to keep you, like, it's the Charhound barking at you, man.
It's probably going to be my pet that I love and is keeping me grounded.
Yeah. Love the I love that Star Wars, because I am watching Bad Batch season 3 right now as well. I love that Star Wars pets are very, very intelligent and will just do the exact thing you need them to do. Like, you know, I've had two dogs growing up, you know, one dog that I've, you know, that I had as an adult and loved, but it would take a lot to get Ampersand to do exactly what I wanted. And there was never a time.
And Ember is just like, I'm going to dive down. I'm going to try to find these people that are trapped under the water. Like,
yeah,
good dog.
Yeah. If I tried to explain that to Ampersand, he'd be like, nah, what? Just remember taking him to not a canyon or anything, but what is it? Not like Chestnut Ridge, but yeah, let's just say Chestnut Ridge. And we're doing some hiking, and we get need to go up a pretty big rock, and be like, come on, let's go up, up, up. And he'd be like, I have no idea what you're talking about, bud. I'm standing here. This is where we're gonna live now. And I'm like, all right, pick you up, walk you. Elzar's great. I think I understand the state of the Senate and or the Republic a little bit better now, seeing that, I'm like, wait, why aren't they already part of the Republic? Oh, because they're still expanding. This isn't, so I forget the race.
The Togruta.
The Togruta, yeah. I'll never be able to, it's the race that Ahsoka is, basically, right? Yeah. They're not part of the Republic. They're in their own sector, and and this is the inklings that they might become part of the Republic later. Right now, you know, they're just
esteemed guests.
Yeah.
at the fair too.
So which... I'm like, oh, okay. So, because I thought the Republic was always the Republic, you know, but now it's a loose gathering of systems, and not all the systems that we're used to being part of it from, you know, Star Wars starting in 32 BBY. Is so like that. I feel like the Nile have dialed up Marshawn Roe, because it's not really the Nile anymore. It's just his mechanism. Yeah. The Nile is his mechanism to get what he wants. But he doesn't care about the Nile. It's not really it's not like an empire that he's building to take down the Republic. It's something different. It seems very personal to him to take down Jedi.
Well, and there's definitely inklings. That's a little bit more towards the back end of the book. It's when he's putting together like the staff for the the leveler, where it's like he's having like those like flashes and visions of his dad is like, you could never do this. I'm the best at this. So it seems more like one-upping mm-hmm. his father, who's the previous leader of the Nile, that's just like, no, I'm doing what you could never do. But then he's also having those flashes of his father being like, no, like, I never did this because this is dumb. Like, this is mm-hmm. stupid. So I'm wondering if maybe, and I can't remember, because we did read the comics with Marshawn in it, like the, mm-hmm. I forget what it was called, like the Eye of the Storm or something.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, something like that.
And again, like, I want to go back and reread some of the stuff that I've already read now with the lens, because they are doing these in, not phases, I forget. Are they called phases? Yeah. Okay. I thought I was just Marvel-brained at that point, where I don't know where we are now, but this is also part of Phase 1, which had Light of the Jedi in it, mm-hmm. and some of those comics that I have read. Now I want to know if maybe some of those comics I read were part of like Phase 1, or maybe they're part of Phase 2, where maybe I'm jumping back and forth between some of the content, so that's why maybe I'm not enjoying it as much as I feel like I should be, because I'm seeing glimpses of stuff that hasn't happened, but maybe will be happening, so... Mm-hmm. And I'm aware of that as a consumer of this media. I'm not reading everything. I'm not getting... Yeah. all of that.
So Phase 1 is basically Starlight Beacon, then the fall of Starlight, spoilers, the fall of Starlight Beacon. You know that because the next book is called Falling Star.
I think Star. On one of them, like, I think it's either one of the books or one of the covers that they put out for something, they have like the Starlight Beacon exploding, and it was like solicited right at the beginning, because it's like, yes, this is what we are building towards, and you are going to be aware of this as we're getting to that point, kind of thing. So much so that when we read Light of the Jedi, I thought like the big thing that was was Starlight Beacon, because like the whole time they're like, oh, we can't wait for this satellite to bring order. To the rim, like, we're going to do there. And it's like, yeah, something's going to... No, that wasn't it, but...
Yeah, well, they did the same trick. They're like, well, we're going to... I can't wait for this Republic Fair to happen, and everything's going to be great. And you know what? This time, it wasn't great. Starlight Beacon,
that I saw coming. That I saw happening. I am surprised that the Chancellor Lena So survived, like, because they were so amped up on just... taking her out, and I think that would have been a big victory for the Nile. Is just, I mean, again, this is still a victory. I think everything that they have done is sown enough chaos and disorder that, yeah, they are a threat to be taken seriously. And this is just kind of ramping that up even more. But I'm surprised. So I don't want to say walked away, because at the end of the book, like, she's in like a hospital bed with her kid next to her, but like, I'm surprised that she survived this encounter, because that seemed like that would have been the big loss, because I feel like we didn't have a big loss. I mean,
we lost Great Storm, but we lost Great Storm again.
We already thought he was gone, so him not being gone is just kind of like, okay, like, oh, he survived, oh, but now he's gone. And there was that moment that I had a little bit of hope when it was him and like Belle, and like he's got his lightsaber and he's like, I don't remember what he exactly said, but it was one of those like, all right, let's go get him kind of things. And I'm like, great, you're not going to get out of this, but great. Like, you're already like a mummy.
We read that comic book, you know, where they're investigating his death. So I'm like, oh, so he doesn't die here. It must happen in a different book, maybe in a comic or something. And I'm like, oh, nope. Yep. He's dead, because, this is interesting. I think the book is paced kind of well, because it's the two main leaders both working on their great works. Mm-hmm. Chancellor Slow is working on her great work of the Republic Fair, and Marshawn Rowe is working on his great work. He's studying his father's journals, and realizing that his birthright, you know, wherever he comes from, his civilization, they used to work with these creatures. They call them the Levelers, a Leveler, that eat force powers, or thrive on force wielders. They cause the delusions, hallucinations. They stop the Force from being Force yielders to interact with the Force. And as we see at the very end of the book, will like suck the life completely from a Force wielder and leave them a petrified corpse, almost looking like stone. And you were saying like, yeah, if they killed Chancellor, so it would have been a great victory from the Nile. And I think this book is showing more and more that Marshawn Roe doesn't care about the Nile's wants. He lets them go off and do this thing, but he has a completely different agenda.
Because even there's like the moment, I can't remember, he's the other Tempest runner.
Yeah.
With the mask. Pam? It's not Lorna. Yeah. Because it was not Lorna. Yeah. Where he's basically like, oh, like I'm the, this is my victory. Like Marshawn's not a part of this. Like I'm going to be the one that's coming out of this as like the hero. People are going to love me for this.
Yeah. I'm going to take over. I'm going to win. We're going to be so emboldened. My crew, they're going to be so emboldened. We're going to then take Marshawn's ship. And then, because the secret does get out that Marshawn doesn't actually create the pass. He's not figuring them out. They're given to him by the lady's name. I'm forgetting.
She's like one of the Santecas.
Yeah, the Santeca.
She's I can't remember her first name, but she's basically like old lady in an iron lung kind of that just gives them the paths through hyperspace, which I like that that's still kind of, yes, the Nihil know about that now that there's someone feeding him that information, but that's still a mystery to the Republic and the Jedi because I forget, it might be Elzar, like when he sees the Nihil like jumping to hyperspace from like planets that he's like, I don't even know how they're able to do that, but like he can't think or dwell on that too much because there's so much other stuff going on that's like requiring that attention.
Yeah, the invasion of Valo, the Republic Fair alone, it wasn't something that could happen because the ships basically jump in past the planetary defenses. Like they're in Atmo by the. It's something that is so crazy only Han Solo would be able to pull that off, you know?
As a madman.
You know, with the Millennium Falcon. But they're doing it with these jump drives, and they can't figure out how they're doing it. And I guess we were left with the Light of the Jedi thinking that they had won. That, hey, we destroyed so many ships. We turned the tide. How many could there be? Even if there could only be a few left of these guys, it's probably fine. Then in this book, they do that all again. With the when Pan raids the Innovator, this new science ship. It's not even a warship that they're creating, but it's the largest ship in the Republic fleet. It's not really the Republic fleet, but it's a science vessel, and they do a raid on that. And the Jedi help turn the tide, destroy a bunch of ships, and they're like, okay, well, that was their big raid. That was they're on their last gasp. We're fine. And they haven't like tried to figure out any mysteries because I think they think they're fine all the time. They haven't been working on any problems.
But then there's also this whole other, I don't think it actually had a name, but like the device that disrupts like energy fields, which renders like blasters and, oh, surprise, lightsabers useless. Like, yeah, all this is going to be coming to a head, and I don't know how far in advance we know where High Republic stuff is going. Like, I don't know what's already been like out there because I'm not avoiding it, but I don't want to know too much because I do like playing in this universe and like partaking of it. Like, we know just from Star Wars history that we've already seen, like, yeah, the Jedi do fall, they are pretty much wiped out. They are hand waved away as myths and urban legends. And there's even a point in this book where Stellan's talking about like, oh, I'm going to see if maybe Elzar and I can take a trip to Jedha. You know, have some R&R, like hang out over there. It's like, that's the planet from Rogue One that they blow up. So I like that there is some glimpses of things that we know already from the future of Star Wars, but I like that a lot of this still is new for me, mm-hmm. and content that I do want to consume and am amped to do so.
Well, are you that amped because the Acolyte trailer came out?
I didn't want to talk about that because it's something I feel like we need to talk about on Bag and Board, but also it does play into this, so I do want to talk about it.
I can talk more while you grab your drink. It's fine. You can say you're grabbing a drink, but yeah, The Rising Storm. Let's see. We kind of went over the different characters and everything. Marshawn Rowe. This is all happening 231 years before the Battle of Yavin. In phase two, they jump back 150 years. The Acolyte happens 100 years basically after this book.
Okay.
So nothing in these book series, so far as I know, are going to impact what happens in the Acolyte. Though
there is grumblings.
Characters that are long lived. Yeah. Like I saw the Wookiee character and I'm like, is that Bree? And it's not. It's a different character.
Oh, is it? Okay? Everyone's assuming that's Briaga, but then there's a green skinned alien that they show, and people are saying that that's Vernestra. I can't remember her name, but she was Stellan's old Padawan.
Okay.
I need to look up her name. Just saying that that could be her, but then also we know Yoda's alive and well. He is mentioned in this book, but he doesn't actually like pop up in it at all.
He's much like, well, Avar Chris, they keep on mentioning the plants. I'm forgetting their names.
Oh, the Drengir?
Yeah. And that's all happening in the comic book series. And I'm like, oh, I kind of want to read those because they're, I kind of feel like Elzar Man. I'm like, yeah, what about Avar? What about Avar Chris?
And I will say, like, I did buy that first arc because I was enjoying it. But then after we read Light of the Jedi, I was like, okay, I'm gonna continue on with that. So I did read the rest of that first arc. And I think when that arc was done, I was like, okay, bookmark, I'll come back and continue on once I read more. But I just haven't. And that's on me. And this is how I feel about the actual, I guess, mainline Star Wars comic books too, which I like them. I want to read them, but it's a lot to keep up on, and I feel like if I'm doing that, I am probably not reading something else, because with how many books I would have to buy to catch up on that, I'm either dropping my Energon Universe stuff or I'm dropping like the Massiverse stuff, just because I'm now buying three or four more monthly comics, and I'm trying to get out of that habit. But after reading like the new Ultimate comics that have come out, I feel like I want to read those. So something else is probably going to have to go first.
I couldn't sleep last night, so I loaded up the Phasma book, because I read the book that I thought introduced what's her name, Vi Marati. But that book doesn't actually introduce her. She's actually introduced in the Phasma book. And I'm like, well, okay, I'll read that. So I started reading that Star Wars book, because I've been jumping around all timelines with the Star Wars novels. But because I haven't picked up the Fallen Star yet. But
is Fallen Star the next actual novel? But then again, like we said, this is a whole publishing initiative. So in addition to these adult novels, there's like young adult books. There's the aforementioned comic books, but then there's also like kids books.
Yeah, young adult. There's young adult. There's youth. I forget the name of them. Books.
There's kids comics too, like High Republic Adventures. So there's really something for everybody in this whole High Republic publishing era. And then, we will be getting the Acolyte, which will be taking place later on in this saga. I think it's cool to have new Star Wars that is exciting and you don't know where it's going to go. And we can assume, yeah, all these characters are going to die. Everyone will be gone at some point. But for now, it's just, I like them.
Yeah. Well, with the Acolyte, I'm kind of hoping that, because we're so far away from the Star Wars saga, the Skywalker saga, that the Acolyte actually helps give me more. I'm like, well, how do we get from this to what we're to the state of the world that we're in, or the state of the universe we're in for the Star Wars saga? So I'm hoping the Acolyte actually acts as that bridge, since it's taking place 67 odd years before the Phantom Menace at that point.
I think this is definitely a worthwhile addition to the Star Wars canon, and just a great read. If you've dabbled into any of the High Republic stuff, but you haven't continued on with it, I think this is definitely worth continuing on. Like, even if you're not going into any of the other stuff, I think this works well enough as a standalone book after The Way of the Jedi. I don't think this could be your first jump into it.
Yeah. Yeah, because you do want to know about, you want an introduction to most of the characters. You do get, though I don't remember Ty being in it. Ty York being in Light of the Jedi. But I think she's a very I think you get introduced to a lot of cool characters here, too.
So when we talked about the first book, I said Avar Chris was kind of my favorite character. Mm-hmm. Again, like how she kind of hears the Force as a song. And
yeah,
I really liked her. I think coming out of this book, Stellan Geos is...
Oh, really?
He's my guy now. I don't know. I really dug him. Like,
he's like a little bit more of a laid-back Obi-Wan.
He is. I like that everyone knows he's kind of a nerd, too, because it's like, oh, you get this guy talking about lightsaber history. He's going to keep going. And like, while they're at the fair, there's someone that's like talking to him about like carbon, how to remove like carbon scoring from stuff. And he's like... Excuse me, my friend's over there. It's like, that's the kind of guy that people are going to be like drawn to, because it's like, oh, you know about this little niche part of a lightsaber maintenance. Like, tell me how you do this.
I definitely got more interested into Elzar Man, because he actually has like a full arc. He's going on. If he feels like he's on a journey, because he brought himself. He had this vision. He was questioning what he saw, so he brought himself to these waters to basically waterboard himself into trying to figure it out, and then gets sent on that. Then goes and takes that. Accepts the position to help set up the Jedi Temple or Jedi Station on Valo while the Republic Fair is going on, and is basically the liaison between the Jedi and what's her name? Rebecca. You know, I'm going to call her Rebecca.
I have Wikipedia open right now. I could probably...
It's the person that's basically putting the organizer of the fair. She's the one that's getting all the groups together, making sure everything's on a timeline. She's great at her job. And
she's so great at her job. But like, he's like, he can't even like talk her up, because like, oh, if I talk about this girl too much, like,
everybody will know I'm crushing on her. Yeah.
Great disaster emerging like task force.
I like that. Then he's questioning himself with the Force. He's questioning what the Force is trying to get him to do. He's trying to fight against that, and then he ends up like, doesn't want things to happen. Taps into the dark side. You know, immediately has regret about it. Figures out a way that, hey, you know what? I'm gonna just work harder to regain control and try to preserve as much life as possible. He gets a cool dragon that he rides on. Like, how cool is that? He basically is taking Ty as an apprentice. You know, somebody that's also very interesting, because he's definitely had some Jedi training, but doesn't want to be a Jedi. She's now a gun for hire, a mercenary, bodyguard, whatever you need.
Oh, she does something. It's when they're kind of like doing the prison break. Mm-hmm. And like one of the other characters says to her, like, oh, that's not something I thought like a Jedi would do, like something along that. And she's like, yeah, there's a reason for that. Like,
yeah.
I do like her a lot. I couldn't find the girl's name. So, yes, Rebecca will stand.
It might be Rika. It might be R-E-E-K-A. But,
you know, but, he wakes up in her apartment and she's gone. He's just like, oh, which kind of leads me to my next question. Is there a character in the next book, which I don't remember which one it is, Paul? You said it before.
The Fallen Star.
Fallen Star. Is there someone that you hope to see more of in that one that kind of becomes like that focal character? Kind of like we had Selen and Elzar.
A side character that didn't get much time here. I'm thinking that we're going to see more of Indrani. Indira.
That's actually who I was hoping for, because she kind of takes over as Bell's master. And kind of like he respects her. He likes her. She saves him pretty much from when he gets skewered in like his vector. But like the whole time, like it's much more like he's thinking back to like, oh, yeah, she's great. Mm-hmm. But Loden's my master. Loden's who I trained alongside, meditated with. I would like more of her too, just her to show her quality.
Yeah, because she's like the one side character that I'm like, oh, okay, but she's awesome with the Force. Like she can stand on her own. She's definitely a master. Because I'm going to see probably her with Bell, and Bell's I think is still an interesting character because he's. Again, questioning where he in this book, he was questioning where he was with the Force. He was trying to shut out the Force because he was afraid that he would find his master in the cosmic Force or feel his presence there, or worse yet, not feel his presence and feel lost without him being there.
Well, and we didn't really talk about this too, but it's the moments after he is skewered and he's like rushed to the back of the tank and he is starting to fade. And he is like starting to let go, but it is him being like, no, like I don't want this yet. I feel like I can still do more. I can help. Like, I really like that. And looking at his picture on Wikipedia, I'm pretty sure that this is him.
Okay.
On the cover here.
All the way to the right.
Yes. There's so many great characters in this, and like, Even in this one, like they make a mention and it's like, oh, now Burry gets to finally fly because he was learning before. Like, you know, again, it's a Wookiee Jedi. Like, who wouldn't want to see more of that? Final thoughts. Anything else you want to get out about?
My issues were with it were I do feel like it was kind of slow to start. We got the cool invasion or the raid on the innovator. And I'm like, okay, cool. It's picking up. And then it slowed right back down again for a couple chapters. But at that point, then we had Marshawn Roe like doing his stuff. So that was interesting. And then it ramps. Then it's a straight shot to the end.
So it ramps. I was kind of surprised that it kind of kept going, but then I feel like it ends abruptly, which would be my biggest like issue with it. And I don't want to say it's a complaint, but I was kind of surprised how it kept going after everything happened at the fair. And I was like, okay, like we're going to see how they're closing out and maybe it'll set up what's going to come next. But then it literally just ends with Loden actually dying. And then Lina So like being like, hey, the future's still ours kind of thing. And it's like, there's so much stuff that's kind of unresolved. Like, I feel like the Jedi that we have been following, we don't have a moment of like catharsis for them or a moment for them to just sit back and reflect on everything.
Yeah, Bell's curled up crying.
Like, it's down to the wire. Like, the book ends and it's like, okay, we've done so much. We lost. Where to? Because even, you know, to put it into Skywalker saga stuff, even Empire Strikes Back, has that moment where, okay, Luke's got his new hand. They're sitting on the bridge. People are going to go out, find Han. Like, there's still that moment where it's like, all right, like, we're looking forward to something. I don't think this has that. And if this is, like, what you've read of High Republic, that might be interesting. They're like, oh, what's going to come next? But already reading a lot of these characters and being in it, I'm kind of like, oh, but I would like just a breath.
Yeah, yeah.
After everything.
Especially since, you know, there's basically a year jump in between each of these books, and there's going to be a year jump, I'm looking at the timeline right now, into The Fallen Star. So we're going to go from the battlefield to a year later. You know,
Paul, so. Whatever you are looking at that has the reading order, if you could send it over to me, because does it have, like, where all the books are, like, the kids books, the young adult, the comics?
It doesn't have the comics. It has and doesn't have the kids books. It just has the main books, the audio dramas, which you can read in script form.
Okay.
And
because I probably wouldn't do, like, the little kids books.
Yeah, doesn't have
the, it's like the books. A picture book about Ember's Day Out or something like that.
Well, because there's a kids show that happens in the High Republic.
Yeah,
Young Jedi Adventures or whatever.
We watched the first episode of it because it popped up on Disney Plus, and we're like, oh, what's this? And it's definitely more like kids show. It's like, let's learn how to share. And it's
learning how to share. They should already know that.
They're little kid Padawans, but then there's, like, a little kid, like, freighter pilot, and I'm like, that kid should not have a ship yet. I don't need that stuff, but I wouldn't be opposed to jumping into, like, the young adult novel stuff, because, again, that's probably stuff I could read in, like, an afternoon or two. And they're probably written to the reading level and complexity of something like a Harry Potter or a Series of Unfortunate Events, where it's like, I can still sit down, read it, and enjoy it as an adult without feeling like, oh, this is definitely for kids. Like, there's still probably going to be big character moments, big plot points that are going to play into something like Rising Storm or Falling Star, where it's going to be like, okay, like, I'm glad I got that little bit that's going to play a part. Because,
well, one of my favorite, the author, she hasn't written, I haven't written any the High Republic stuff from her yet, but Claudia Gray does Into the Dark.
Yeah, she does Star Wars stuff, I know that.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember.
We're talking about Star Wars, I'm sorry, but, like, newer Star Wars stuff, I should say.
What did I read of hers that, it must have been the...
Was it Aftermath ones?
No, it must have been the World of Warcraft book that I read. Didn't she do that?
She might have. I have the Sylvanas book. Yeah. It's like literally on the shelf next to me. I think she maybe did Sylvanas, or maybe
has written. Yeah, she wrote Lost Stars Bloodline. Wikipedia books. Sorry.
That's okay.
Star Wars novel.
We can be quiet because when I run this through everything, it'll cut out any of the silence. But I'm not going to be silent because I just want to talk.
Okay.
I like podcasting, guys.
I guess I haven't read anything of hers. Yeah. I don't know why I thought I have. But yeah, she has written the Aftermath stuff, the Princess Leia stuff. Oh, and Master and Apprentice, which is the...
Stas Ventress one?
No, I think... That's either Obi-Wan and Anakin, it's the... Which one's the one with Darth Sidious and Darth Plagueis? Isn't there?
Oh, that I don't.
It might just be like Plagueis or Sidious or something.
Paul, the whole reason we started Word Books with Friends is because this is something of a blind spot for us.
It is Shadow Rising, right? No, that's Shadowlands. That's the one after. I haven't read that one. The World of Warcraft. I keep on bouncing around. Sorry.
It's okay.
But yeah, I would read that one. I thought Kelvin Scott did pretty well. I liked his writing. I thought there was some things that made me like, really? You're going to say pew pew? Really? A character is going to actually
look at you. Pew, pew.
Also, they now call them plasma swords, or every once in a while, not laser swords or lightsabers. They'll just say plasma swords. And I'm like, okay, it's different.
There was another, I don't want to say colloquialism because it's like a widely accepted term in, you know, current day English. Someone said something at one point. I'm like, is that really what they would say? Like, because there was like a moment.
There was a couple times in this book that I was like that. But also in Solo, apparently, the Star Wars film, Star Wars story film, somebody says that's bananas.
I don't remember that. But there's like definitely another one. It might be, oh my gosh, Force Awakens or something. But like, character makes like, says something about like, oh, like shooting like ducks or like fish in a barrel or something. Like, it's one of those kind of things where it's like fish in a barrel, like get your ducks in a row. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, really? It could be like you're going to get your space ducks in a row. It's, but there was one of those in this where I was like, when I read it, I was like,
Yeah, there were a couple times. Then I'm like, you know, at which point I'm like, that's not on the writer. That's on the editor. That's on the story, you know, the Star Wars story guru, like, should be giving it a once over and be like, ah, let's space this up a bit, guys. Let's make sure everything feels like a Star Wars, you know?
It needs to be a Star Wars.
It needs to be a Star Wars.
Oh, Paul, that's... I'm glad you brought that up because we didn't talk about that.
It feels like a Star Wars.
It feels like a Star Wars.
Big battles.
Big battles. In space. Things in space. People with plasma swords. Weird aliens.
Actually, no battles really up in space, though. Battles up in the upper atmosphere.
Atmosphere, yeah.
Still works. I still count it.
Yeah, no, this is a Star Wars.
And I feel like we got a villain that isn't Sith, but isn't just, oh, we're not Sith, but we're basically Sith in name, you know? I'm kind of sad that they're not just space Vikings, though, because that's how they were originally. Oh, they're space Vikings. They're coming in to raid things, and they can't be controlled. They got the war clouds, and now Marshawn Roe is definitely not that. He's a planner. He's not interested in doing raids. So I'm kind of like, oh, well.
And I mean, you have like
he's a different
the lieutenants that are like sowing the seeds of discontent in that. But I feel
they're
like
all dead.
That doesn't matter because they're all going to be taken off the playing field because you can't have anyone be a bigger bad than Marshawn Roe. Like that's just kind of what it's going to come down to. And I think I'm okay with that, though. I think he is such a good, like, villain because he doesn't care about any of those people. Like, it's Spader choking out, like, the moths on the Death Star Bridge. Like, yeah, these are bad guys, but you know who's an even better guy? The person that's like, no, I don't want to listen to you. And, like, you know, kicking him out into space.
Tossing an electrified helmet that's burning you alive. And, dude, Pan did not go down. You know, talking about the lieutenants, I think Pan was kind of right, like, to, like, try to off Marshawn Roe.
Yeah, and I feel like even when we were reading the other book, it's like, I really don't like Lorna. She's just kind of annoying, but I feel like that's how everyone feels about her, too. Mm-hmm. Even at the beginning, I don't remember the alien's name, who was kind of the pilot that his race was, like, forcing, like, Dis. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that.
I kind of liked him, but I'm like, he's too likable. He's not going to be around. Like, like the fact that he's like, oh, I don't know what to call.
He was literally a canary in the mine. Yeah. You know, he was there to see how he would survive, if he could survive being that close to the level there.
The moments that he could survive. For him, just being among the Nihil, we're like, oh, I can't believe I get to hang out with Marshawn Roe. I can call him Marshawn. Ooh, like, it's one of those things. I really enjoy this, and I do want to keep up with this. Paul, have you read the Sylvanas book yet?
I think that's the one I read. Well, the one I listened to. I don't know.
I know. I'm gonna.
Novels.
I'm gonna put this out there because I do have it sitting here. It's something that I want to read.
Maybe that's if you haven't read it, then I haven't read it because we talked about the one.
Yeah. I think maybe that's the next word book.
Maybe. Before the Storm. That's the one I read.
Okay. I might have been thinking Storm, but then I was like, oh, it can't be that because we just read Rising Storm.
And that was written by Kristen Golden. Christy Golden.
Oh, okay.
That's who I'm thinking. This one.
Be right back. Okay. Sylvanas is also done by Christy Golden.
And that explains her fall to not the Lynch King, but the jailer.
The jailer, yes. And I do like Sylvanas stuff, so I feel like this is shorter than maybe not. But yeah. I submit this as maybe the next word book. And maybe this will get you back into Warcraft enough that you'd want to play your Dragonflight, because Dragonflight's a great expansion. I love it.
But is it a new expansion? What's this, Plunder Bay or Plunder Booty?
Oh, Plunderstorm. It's a battle royale kind of thing where you basically get a fresh pirate, like nothing, anything to do with any of your Warcraft stuff. You get dropped into an island, run around, kill mobs, get loot. Loot raises your character's level. You get stronger, kill other like monsters around, get different abilities. Those abilities can then be strengthened up. PvP, but it's not like PvP. It's basically just like button mashing. Try to beat your opponent, get their abilities. Last Man Standing gets more plunder to level up. And then by leveling up, you can get transmog stuff in Warcraft. So it's not necessary to play. Mm-hmm. I dabbled in it the first day. It's just not a game style that I like. But
it's Islands Expeditions. But
yeah, basically. but Dragonflight is a lot of fun. Like, I think it's a great expansion. I know you're sleepy, but man, if you're like, you know what, let me do it, I'd be like, let's go, Paul. I'll make a new character. But listeners, have you checked out any of the High Republic books?
You know what? Old Republic, the High Republic. I still got to play Jedi Survivor because there's a whole character in there that's from the High Republic.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
John played it. I haven't.
That's not Fallen Order. The next one. The newest one.
Oh.
There's the character.
I don't even know what it's called. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's Jedi Survivor. I own it, and I haven't played it yet. So
hey, maybe you should play that on Twitch.
Yeah, play it on Twitch.
It's been a minute, Paul.
It has been quite a
while. But listeners, hey, have you read Rising Storm? If not, maybe do. If you have, let us know. Email us begboardcast@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on this book or on any of the social media posts for this here episode. And if not, read Sylvanas, because I'm saying that's the next book.